Yeah, that's not
very
hard. Okay. It's April 17th, and I'm interviewing June Hahner about the history of the Women's Studies program and her involvement in it. I usually start out, June, by asking people how they got involved in the Women's Studies program. Of course, you were there before it was a program, but perhaps you can tell us some of that history.
Okay. Fall of 1972, the Women's Caucus meeting. And we were discussing the idea of Women's Studies. And a subcommittee was going to be formed to look into it. And I volunteered.
Who was on the subcommittee?
Lib Burns and Sylvia Bonnard.
Mm-hmm.
And I headed it.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole thing started.
Yeah. So what happened?
Okay. We tried to build courses. That was the basic strategy. Develop courses. Encourage faculty to give courses, encourage the departments to have the courses. And the strategy that I thought was the best to pursue, and I do think it was the best, was to try to get these as catalog courses. Because up to this point, there only been one course, that very nice one, literature course. But mm-hmm. It was general studies. In other words, we didn't have catalog courses. We were having the equivalent, it was easier to get it through, of topics courses.
Mm-hmm.
Which the university doesn't count the same way.
I see.
So if you're going to build a program, you had to have catalog courses, mm-hmm. something that they could say was going to be there. Mm-hmm. So that was the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And we just built them up in various departments, and quite
mm-hmm.
quickly. I try to look at some old information to find out what some of the earlier courses if you're interested.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it was really, so long ago, women's studies was not an accepted field. So I guess the question of legitimacy was a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Try to justify women's studies, explain what women's studies was,
mm-hmm.
justify the courses. Certain departments were much more sympathetic than others. I won't name names.
You can name names if you want to.
I won't name the ones
okay.
that were really nasty.
Right. Yeah.
There were certain ones.
Well, who were sympathetic to women's studies? Which ones were sympathetic to women's studies?
Well,
at
least we got some courses through
mm-hmm.
in places like history. Anthropology wasn't bad. Let's see, look at early courses. Women in European history. History of women in the Americas. Classic. So it was called Women in Antiquity. Women in the Drama. Those were the catalog courses, the first catalog
mm-hmm.
courses. And the topic courses like Women in the Drama, the rhetoric of the women's rights movement, Women in the Peace Movement, contemporary French women authors.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of sympathy in humanities, and then certain places in social science, like history, like anthropology.
Yeah.
But there were one particular department was since turned around, but that time had just been through COVID and bloodbath and definitely unsympathetic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, that also, trying to build up a program, we could use a couple courses that already existed of the departments, like, Urban Puerto Rican Family.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the strategy, try to have regular catalog courses to avoid the good old revolving door syndrome, because otherwise it just turns, that door just turns more quickly.
Right.
But people in the course are just going in and out.
Right.
So that was the goal, get women's studies as a program, something recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recognized as a second field in the spring of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an entity then called Women's Studies.
Right.
And in fact, Ruth Smith, who was dean then of humanities, said she was very surprised that we had done it that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now maybe a second field looks like, but that's when it became an entity.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I even got the title of director, with, of course, no money, no time, or nothing like that, you
mm-hmm.
understand. But at least
right.
there was something called Women's Studies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Had a fight for money. There's no real budget, ad hoc, get money out of president,
mm-hmm.
$500, get, Ruth was very good in putting up money for speakers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you need to establish a budget, you need to establish, a structure of some
mm-hmm.
kind. And that's what we worked on, just to get the idea of Women's Studies through, to get people interested, to encourage people for courses. And it was all, of course, volunteer labor.
Right, of course.
For half of the course.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of students kept going up.
Mm-hmm.
We did an outside activity, like I mentioned, speakers.
Yeah.
We had two very good speakers
mm-hmm.
In the period where I was heading the thing.
Who?
Catherine Stimson, for example.
Mm-hmm.
and Gerda Lerner.
Ah, yes.
So top-notch people.
Mm-hmm.
Who good audiences and who attract a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, when I got Gerda Lerner, I got Afro-American to share something.
Mm-hmm.
Gerda Lerner was a formidable person. When then chair of Africana, I think what was the title at that point? I think it was still Afro. Titles change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Afro-American at that point. The then chair said to me that he wanted to have somebody else on the panel as a rebutter, was the term he used.
Mm-hmm.
I said I don't think she'd like it, and boy, she listened to him with that idea, so they didn't get very far.
Right.
So there were some
ideas
here and there,
mm-hmm.
where she was talking about black women.
Yeah.
Which, of course, she had worked quite a bit on.
Mm-hmm.
So then this is the kind of the start.
Right.
Publicity, courses, recognition, pushing for a budget, then starting the push for actual a line, or something
mm-hmm.
that would be in Women's Studies itself.
Right, right. So, now how long were you the nominal director?
2 years.
For 2 years. So that took us up to what, 74, 75?
I'm trying to remember. Must be 74, yeah. Because I only did the thing, yeah, because when did I go on sabbatical? I've got to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the point, because it was, I went on sabbatical and Joan Schulz, of course, took it over and developed
right.
it much further.
Yeah, right. So, I want to get back to kind of the chronology later, but who were the people who were involved? I mean, you say you and Sylvia and Liv Burns were the initial ones.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was involved?
Well, giving courses
over the period of time.
Well, I was the Joan Schulz, Diva Dames.
Mm-hmm.
Judy Fedley had just come to the university at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And helping to plan courses and strategy and so forth.
Well, there was time. Yeah, because Diva and Joan were giving courses. Judy was
mm-hmm.
a star. Yeah, but it was. There all I can't remember the student's name. There was a student who worked with us sometimes too. But the students were very interested.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was, I know, we had one big meeting at my house, my apartment rather, shortly before I stopped to discuss the next day. That was a really big meeting. Everybody came, literally, because we would think we needed some kind of introduction course, interdisciplinary introduction course. That would be the next step. That was, don't develop that. We
right.
started the idea with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I can't remember all the names. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. that meeting.
When you came back from your sabbatical mm-hmm. and Joan was now doing mm-hmm. the director, I mean, I know you've continued to be active with mm-hmm. the Women's Studies program because I've known you for so long and worked with you in it. Were you teaching courses?
Oh, yes.
I
put through this course, History Women in the Americas, one of the
mm-hmm.
first courses of
right.
for a catalog
yeah.
course, so I kept teaching that.
Right, yeah.
And did some other, you know, I didn't mean to suggest we shouldn't do topics courses, but then you couldn't build a program exclusively
right.
on those, so I did some topics courses too, we all did.
Right, right.
But often a good way to try out a course before making a catalog
mm-hmm.
course.
Mm-hmm. So, what other things, you know, over the years, did you serve on committees?
Oh, sure.
Or are there any that stand out?
Seems to me, in the earlier stages, there was more connection with women's studies activities at other schools in the area. We had a more regional thing, and I was serving on some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see.
Hudson Valley type of things.
Yeah.
Seems to me we're doing more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had the early meetings that tended to be, you know, more freewheeling,
mm-hmm.
Combination of, you know, social and political.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, without the structure that we now have.
Right.
Women's
right.
studies was distinctive. It wasn't another department.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you remember, well, I guess you don't, you said you don't remember the student's name.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because they tended to sort of come and go.
Yeah. Right.
And even on that committee, we had one that would work with us in a little while and then be gone. Yeah, no,
mm-hmm.
maybe the full student populations are different than the faculty populations.
Mm-hmm. Of course, right. Hopefully the faculty are here for long periods of time. What were the issues during those years, the issues that, the major issues that kind of, kept everybody's attention?
Well, there were no, one thing I must say, we didn't have any issues dividing us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would hear stories about other women's studies programs elsewhere, I keep thinking how fortunate we are, what a good group we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it was basically to keep expanding women's studies, get something out of the university, show how good we were.
Mm-hmm. I see, yeah. What about the present now? Women's studies has matured here at the university, has matured. And what are the differences that you see between the way it is now and the way that it was, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Well, women's studies now is a department. The structure is completely different. It's been the structure of a program and a department.
Mm-hmm.
This is, a department has a committee structure, it has regular meetings. It's all business, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the early enthusiasm is gone. After all, things change.
Mm-hmm.
Not the dedication, but the free willingness is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At one time we had community involvement in a way that we don't have.
Exactly.
Do you recall when that changed and how?
Gradual, just very gradual.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember any specific incident, anything that would say this is it, but the program has become academic.
Mm-hmm. Right. How did we bring in the community people initially?
I don't know whether we brought them in or they brought themselves in. I'm not sure. Deepa James is probably the one who's most knowledgeable about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know that she's felt the change in structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there was a demand or interest for community for courses, for activity with the area women.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether it's really us bringing them in or them telling us that we should do something.
Yeah, right. What do you think, what do you see in the future for women's studies, both in general and here at the university?
Oh, historians have no crystal balls.
Don't you have any ideas about where it may go?
Well, in the university, that's retrenching. We had it in the history department recently. We had, last year, one of the administrators who paid their visits, asking for our plans for the future, this and that. One of the people in the department just said, how can we plan for the future without any money? So are we planning for expansion, for growth? Stop chopping us, and then we'll talk about growth.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, I think in a situation like this, sure, we're trying to get more lines, we're trying to grow. But also we're worrying about like every other department. The talk last year about forced mergers of departments, that talk seems to be, not heard this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's taking a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, what about the field, not just the local sort of climate?
Well, women's studies is basically accepted mm-hmm. in the academic world the way it certainly was in 20 years ago. Good work is being done, and don't think of all lip service is being paid.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes refer to that, magic triad, race, class, and gender that everyone keeps citing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think there is recognition and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least as in some other areas, people don't say they don't like it if they don't like it.
we seem to have, there seems to be a thrust in women's studies. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want to see if you think, for example, whether women's studies will ever, transform the curriculum and then die out because the curriculum has been transformed. Do you think that's a likely thing in the future, or do you think that
in my lifetime?
Well, we could. I wouldn't expect anybody to predict much farther than that.
I think, as an area of like women's history, I've heard people voice the hope that that would happen, but no one's expecting it to happen quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that women's studies has anything unique to bring to...
Of course it does. And I think it has made changes. Mm-hmm. But that it would no longer be, quote, needed. I think that's going to take longer than I wish it would take. Because sometimes in courses, people just don't... sticking women into pre-existing pigeonholes rather than rethinking things.
Right. Well, have you any more thoughts on women's studies?
It's been great. Personally, professionally, you know, intellectually, emotionally. This is something that we committed ourselves to, and I think we did very well. Mm-hmm. Looking back, I think a lot has been accomplished. Mm-hmm. Not there's a lot more to do.
Are there people, we're all fairly familiar with the people who are still here. Are there people who are not here, who were instrumental is perhaps too strong a word, but who had an effect on women's studies, who have left the university, for one reason or another, that you can recall?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of the people who were there at the creation are still here. Mm-hmm. Sure, there were people who taught different courses, different things have gone on. Mm-hmm. But if you consider those people who've been chairs of the program, or, you know, mm-hmm. everything, you know, they're all here, aren't they?
Right, right.
The whole range. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning until, you know, full-fledged Spotman.
Right. Well, I don't even know what else to ask you. I've asked you most of the questions that I've been asking other people.
I'm trying to think of... I found an article that I one time wrote for the Women's Studies newsletter, summarizing our early program. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, let's see. Okay, we had 8 courses in the fall of 1972, which totaled from 285 students. For the fall of 1973, we had 9 courses, including several that multi-sectioned, and we got 460 students. So it was rapid growth.
Yeah.
That spring of 74 semester, we added 3 more courses, Ethnology of Women, Women Education, and Spanish Women Writers of the 20th Century. Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone like that Sarah Collins is gone.
Right.
And we have the anthropology people who come and gone, mm-hmm. too, who teach some of these courses, mm-hmm. at the Ethnology of Women. Oh, I made a nice comment at that point about the library resources were adequate to support our courses.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear.
And with the cooperation of individuals within the university are being increased.
Good.
I'm quoting from something that's dated, spring of 74. Mm-hmm. No, without library resources, no program can develop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have been fortunate in that way, the library.
Did you have some kind of a liaison at the library? Was there a librarian that you worked with?
At that point,
do you remember?
There was no particular individual. But I mean, for most libraries, the women are interested, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
So you need a women's studies librarian to get things ordered.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know that I'm just not sure before I came who from the library was involved, because I wasn't around to be watching.
Well, there's been a lot of turnover at the library.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think more than among the faculty. So I can't remember all the names of different people I work with at different times. But mm-hmm. there's been a lot of turnover.
Right.
Not, you know. Think of into library loan, how much that office turns over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I guess I should have kept wonderful records on everything and everybody.
Why should you? Nobody else has.
At the time when Joan took over, I just handed her all the papers, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So I had just little things like this that, you know, I'd actually printed up and published.
That's right. Well, let me turn this off now. It's wonderful.
Okay. I remember the enthusiasm, the excitement of creating something new. It was a good feeling. It was a kind of a solidarity, a great feeling, you know. Not just with women's studies, the women's caucus. There was a combination. There was a spread Women's studies was not just an academic isolated entity. Those were good years, perhaps because we were younger and more energetic. But there was, as I said, a solidarity, a feeling of accomplishment, of excitement, of creating something new. And also of the good hard fight, because administration sometimes wouldn't even give you lip service, let alone real attention. But having Ruth Schmidt, the first woman that had any kind of serious academic position around her, Ruth was very supportive. And that made a difference, that somebody finally cared a little bit. But we had meetings, not just on women's studies, but on everything. And there was an openness, there was a friendliness. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't use the word sister or anything like that, but there was a feeling that, well, there also be, I remember some afternoon, like Friday afternoon, sort of drop-in sociability type of thing. We've lost that. Mm-hmm. We've lost that. You knew you could find people who were sympathetic, you could talk to, unwind with. There was interconnection among women faculty that's been lost. At a university where the connections are very poor to begin with.
Right.
It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
Definitely gotten worse. And look at this building when you came in now. All the doors are always shut. Faculty are always shut. Mm-hmm. They still are shut all the time in social science, but they're shut more than they used to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, one feels much more isolated than one used to be. That's just not women's studies, I mean, that's everything. Mm-hmm. Women's studies is probably one of the most open places on campus. Mm-hmm. But you said there is a difference from the freewheeling, sort of unformed or loosely formed to the structure. Mm-hmm. But universities function on a structured basis is how talking is considered progress in ways.
Right.
We're talking about women's studies in the early days. We're talking about teaching. We're not talking about research. There wasn't really much of any emphasis on research. Mm-hmm. That's come later on. I know I was doing publishing. I was a publishing woman. We just started publishing at that point. But most of the people who've done a lot since on women's studies, the publishing area, were not at that point. In fact, a certain meeting I remember, I guess it was right when Chris was becoming chair, Someone said that, you know, teaching is feminine and publishing is masculine. So that's one thing that has changed in the emphasis.
Yeah.
There is now much more of this academic emphasis on publishing, on research.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at the beginning, we were interested in teaching.
Mm-hmm.
We were interested in, you know, in being activists in many ways.
Yeah.
But the stress was not on publication.
Mm-hmm. Do you suppose that the move to teaching graduate level courses has... Which comes first, the chicken or the egg, kind of thing.
And I think also the eggs get older.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think as some people, at that point myself, I was just a young assistant and tenured professor, you know. But I was getting interested in research on women the same time I was interested in teaching. It all went together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But my first publications had not been on women because when I did my graduate work, there was no such thing as women's history.
Right.
So I think the fields all develop at the same time. So it's chicken and egg and, I don't know, and soup also.
Right, right.
But that is a difference. That is a difference mm-hmm. between earlier and later. That is a difference. Not
mm-hmm.
just structure, but the emphasis too.
Mm-hmm.
Not the teaching becoming less important, but research has been added, whereas research and publication was not part of the early emphasis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think maybe one of the reasons I was actually able to be pretty effective as someone to help develop the program was because I did have some publications and the big boys couldn't sneer at me for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was kind of useful because they would have tried that.
Yeah.
That was useful for us in the program.
Mm-hmm.
We got that point later on, but at that point we were just starting off.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.